Orida. Good morning, everybody. There we go. Stand close. Thank you very much, Don, for reading this morning. It's great to be preaching here again. I'd just like to say at the outset, if this morning's sermon goes pear-shaped, it's all John Sadler's fault. He's not here to defend. He's out in the castle rooms. A fortnight or so ago, he posted something on my Facebook page. He was an organist playing Gimme, 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 ABBA. I've been practicing and it's not quite ready yet. But he challenged me to play it here. I'll clear it with Dad at first. And the thread developed on the Facebook page and somebody mentioned, maybe Andy, I'm not sure, maybe he mentioned that the monitor wanted to do a sermon with an ABBA theme and I thought, yeah, I could do that. ABBA. I love ABBA. Went to the ABBA Museum in Stockholm last May. There was a conference there, and I sloped off for a bit. Did a bit of karaoke, a bit of Dancing Queen. We're not doing Dancing Queen this morning. Saw the outfits and the instruments. A wonderful place. And then I went to the lectionary, because I'm becoming a good Anglican. And I saw that today's gospel reading in the lectionary was John 3, 1-17. Great. Nicodemus' story. Of course, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And then I noticed that Mark is preaching on that this evening. And an amateur like me is not going to compete with a vicar or area dean. So I was back ruminating over this ABBA idea. It was stuck in my head. I was praying for guidance. And I was in the car on the way back from Tesco, and I turned on Radio Cymru on the car, expecting to hear, as you would, a Welsh song. And what came on? Mamma Mia, in English. Coincidence. So I went back to the lectionary and looked what else was there. And wasn't getting anywhere. I went into the office the next morning, and my usual office routine, coffee machine on, Radio 3 on. And what was playing on Radio 3 was a small chamber group playing an ABBA piece. Nah, no way, I thought. And then I got home that evening, and I was still thinking, what am I going to do? So I went to the new International NIV Life Application Bible, and I just flipped it open using one of the red tabs. There are two red tabs there, ba-doop, and it opened at Romans 8. Life through the Spirit, and there in verse 15, Abba, Father. And I thought to myself, God has been telling me to speak on this, and I fought back. So I said, My. I tried to hold you back, but you were stronger. Yeah, and now it seems my only chance is giving up the fight. How could I ever refuse? I feel like I win when I lose, so I gave up the battle. And here I am talking about Abba, Father, and freedom in the Spirit that Father gives us. Before we carry on, let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's great that we can come here today in praise and worship. Thank you for leading me to this topic. Thank you for your word, and thank you that you love us so much that you sacrificed your son, Jesus Christ, so that we can be free from sin. Amen. Right, back to the reading. Paul's letter to the believers in Rome. Written, it's believed, around 57 AD in Corinth. A wonderful, wonderful letter. Setting out the foundations of the Christian faith, explaining that salvation is to be found in Christ. And maybe the subtitle of this morning's sermon could be The Best News Ever. What we have in the reading is Paul telling us that God offers freedom from condemnation, freedom from the chains of sin. Secondly, he's offering us a new way of life, a new way of thinking and behaving. And thirdly, God has made us his children. So what I'd like to do is just look at those three in turn. I'm going to pull that off because there we are, freedom from having to stand too close to the mic. I can move. Chapter 8 opens with this profound and exciting statement. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Maybe we need a moment just to let that sink in. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God offers us freedom from condemnation. We're guilty of sinning, but those who believe in Jesus, who trust in Jesus, who obey, as we've just sung, are free from condemnation. We're free, yeah, exactly. We're free. We're free because God sent his only Son to die for us, a sacrifice to take away our sin. He was condemned in our place. And the life-giving Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who was there at the beginning from creation of the world, sets us free. Christ has taken our sins and in doing so has punished sin itself. I'm going to go back to the lectionary reading, just to John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus didn't come to condemn sinners, but to condemn sin, to take away the power of sin to control us and therefore give us everlasting life. Jesus sets us free. Those who trust in Christ, regardless of their past, can leave their past slavery, can leave condemnation and sin behind. I've said this before. I haven't been particularly nice in the past. I've said things and done things that I oughtn't have said and oughtn't have done. But in Christ, I know that there is no condemnation. Like many others, I need Jesus to help me chase the shadows away, to take me through the darkness to the break of the day. Song number 2. There is a test at the end to see if you know the other songs. This idea, as well, of being freed from slavery, of our chains falling off. And that image is such a wonderful, powerful idea, the chains of sin, the chains breaking and freeing us. This image plays a huge part in a number of hymns. And as you know, I love my hymns. I believe that hymns play a key part in our worship. Music is a key part of worship, contemporary music, traditional music. Now, I'm nothing special. In fact, I'm a bit of a bore. If I tell a joke, you've probably heard it before. But I have a talent, a wonderful thing. Because everyone listens when I start to sing. I'm so grateful and proud. All I want to do is sing it out loud, and I do sing loudly and play loudly. So I say thank you for the music, the songs and hymns we're singing. Thanks for all the joy they're bringing, and so on. And I'm grateful to Dereth for letting me have a hand in choosing this morning's hymns. Our final hymn this morning is one of Charles Wesley's greatest, in my opinion. And we'll sing the words, but I want to listen to the words for a second because they are so powerful. The first verse is great. The first verse is Charles Wesley, I think, asking a series of questions which you can almost hear him asking in quite an incredulous manner. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain? For me, who him to death pursued, amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? And then the fourth verse, and this is where we come to the climax of the hymn, the fourth and fifth verses. We sing of the chains of sin being broken, this powerful image. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin, tight, unable to move. Fast bound in sin and nature's night, thine eye diffused a quickening ray, I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. Oh, is there a better line in a hymn? I'm not sure. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. And the final verse then, reflecting what we've heard from Paul in the first two verses of our reading this morning. No condemnation now I dread, Jesus and all in him. Is mine. Jesus and all, everything about Jesus is mine. Alive in him. My living head and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. That freedom that release from slavery and captivity allows us to approach the throne of God boldly, without dread, without fear. There's a Welsh hymn as well, some of you may know, Os gwerir fi bechadur rhywddydd ar ben rhynhaith, if you see me a sinner. There's a wonderful couplet in the final verse as well, which resonates again with Paul's words here in Romans. Y maglau wedi eu torri am traed yn gwbl rhydd, os gwelir fi bryd hynny, tragwyddol foliau fydd. My chains have been broken. My feet are now totally free. And if you see me, there will be ever-ending praise. And this brings me to the second point, which is this offer of new life that we have in the reading. Christians, says Paul in verse 4, do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And in receiving the Holy Spirit into our lives, we are led by him, we are guided to do things differently. Once we accept Jesus into our lives, we have a new mindset. We see things differently, we behave differently, we make different choices. We may ask ourselves, what would Jesus want me to do in this situation? And the great thing is, as we read in verse 6, is that the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. When you became a Christian, did you see things differently? Did you take a different attitude to life? Did people see a difference in you? A fortnight ago, we were marking Transfiguration Sunday, remembering the stories of Moses and Jesus spending time with God on mountains. And Moses, with God for 40 days, 40 nights, coming down from Mount Sinai, having received God's laws, the Ten Commandments. And God's glory was reflected in his face. He was radiant, so much so that Aaron and the Israelites were afraid to go anywhere near him. Can people tell when we've spent time with God, our Father? Do we radiate after reading the Bible, after praying, after spending time with him? Those of you a certain age will remember a certain Ready Breck advert which gave that glow. Can people see that glow in us? People could see God's presence in Moses. Can they see God's presence in us as well? Did people comment to you that you looked different or behaved differently when you became a Christian? Were they concerned about you when you became a Christian? Now, my father's ears are going to be burning this morning because there's two references to him. Bless him. But I've mentioned this story before. Dad used to take my sister and myself and my mother to church, to Sunday school, drop us off, then pop off down the Crown in Albert Avenue in Newport for a swift half while we were there, and come and pick us up afterwards and drive us home before the drink driving laws. And that's how it happened. And then one day, we were doing, it was a Roger Jones musical. I can't remember which one. It could have been Mary Jones and the Bible. But they were a person short, and they said, Brian, can you come and help us? Can you just be a disciple in this scene? Oh, okay. Well, you know, my sister and I were in it, so he came. And he sat, and I can't remember the scene, but it was the Last Supper. And Dad said it was that moment where he was sitting as pretending to be a disciple that he felt that Jesus was actually with him at that table. And that for him was the turning point. And it was interesting because people, he was telling me afterwards, people were somewhat concerned that this Brian they knew had now changed completely and wouldn't be the old Brian. And his friends were not quite sure how to deal with him. He was the same person, but took a different outlook, had a different mindset, looked at life differently. I know that since re-engaging, for want of a better term, with God at the end of 2015, I feel different, and people who've known me a long time have noticed a difference in me. I drifted away from him. I know that he was there, though. Andrew mentioned it about calling me back. I know that he never left me. He was there waiting all the time, waiting for me to change my mind, saying, Jamie, I'm still free. Take a chance on me. I think that's the last one. Is it possible to have the Spirit live within you and stay the same? How do people respond when they see us transformed? Our old selves are dead. In Christ, we have a new life. The Spirit gives us life. Verse 10, if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And this is underlined again in verses 12 and 13. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. We have this obligation, duty, responsibility. The old us is condemned, but the new us is not. So we want to have this changed life. We must be different. In Peter's first letter, chapter 1, verses 13 to 16, we read, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. So to the third point, Peter refers to obedient children. And we read in verse 14, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, are children of God. This is another cracking verse, as Kai might say. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. God has given us his Son, his Holy Spirit. We are his children. Isn't that amazing news? We're not slaves to the Spirit, but we're adopted by God. And I was reading this notion of adoption to highlight the relationship with God. In Roman times, an adopted person lost all the legal rights of his or her old family and gained all the rights of a child in the new family. So the past is gone. You gain the new rights within your new family. Once we're saved, the Holy Spirit assures of our salvation in Christ, lets us know with certainty that we've been adopted into the family of God as his children. And when we become the children of God, we gain all those rights and responsibilities of being a child in God's family. Because of this, and because of God's Holy Spirit lives within us as Christians, then we can call him Abba, Father, with confidence. That word Abba, the Aramaic word for Father, signals a personal, intimate relationship. I think the word father in the English language, at least, it seems a little bit formal, and it's been suggested perhaps that dad would be a more accurate reflection of this word Abba, a close, personal word signifying love, closeness, intimacy. And in this season of Lent, do we need to think about the time we spend with our Heavenly Father? What are our encounters with him like? Do we spend enough time talking with our Father in heaven, in our busy lives, with so many distractions? Maybe there are places where we found God and we revisit them to spend time with him, to spend time with our Heavenly Father. Maybe we come to church to pray, to reflect. I'll often chat to God in the office before going and teaching, or a quiet corner if I'm speaking at a conference, mainly to get kind of help, strength. I've even talked with God in the unattended BBC studio before going on a Radio Wales program live. I've been nervous. These short bursts of God time appear great, but we also, I think, need to spend longer periods of time with our Father, as Moses and Jesus did, so that those around us can see a difference when we have been with our Father. When we go down to Newport to visit my parents, Dad and I like to pop down to the Manor of Gwent, have a chat, a father-son chat about life, work, church. I get questions like, have you finished writing your book yet? And the latest one is, so are you going to become a vicar then? Not as far as I know. And often says, I miss you having around for a man-to-man chat. He's a little bit old-fashioned like that. My sister's nearby, and of course, Mum's there, but he likes to talk, and I listen. We need to listen to God, our Heavenly Father. What is he saying to us? Do we have selective hearing? Kerry says, I have selective hearing. certain things I don't hear. Maybe we tune out more than we tune in. Maybe attention spans are shorter than they used to be. We lack our information in bite-sized chunks. Some people blame television, social media, and I couldn't possibly comment. You'd have to come to one of my lectures to find out. But let's listen to God the Father as his children. Because we're God's children, the Master's children, we are no longer slaves. That's salvation. As children of God, we are heirs to a great inheritance. What is that great inheritance mentioned here? It's everlasting life with him, being united with him in glory. That assurance of salvation and glory is there. We're told also that we are co-heirs with Christ and that we share in who he is and what he has done. In order to share in his glory, as you heard at the end of the reading, we need to share in his suffering. Willing to suffer for Christ. What does it mean? And clearly at the time of writing, when Paul was writing in the first century, it would mean economic, social persecution, death even. We know that Christians in many parts of the world today face persecution, are suffering for Christ, for being followers of Christ. And even in countries where we're not persecuted for meeting for worship, as we are this morning, we can't be complacent. Being a follower of Jesus can be hard. Being a disciple of Jesus can be hard. Resisting pressures, temptations to conform with the world around us. And it often comes at a price, but nothing compared to the price Jesus paid to save us. Jesus paid the price for us on the cross. We've been set free into a wonderful world as children of God. He didn't sacrifice his life for us to remain bound to sin. We know there are challenges, we know there are difficulties, but we can get through these because the Spirit lives within us. We can boldly approach our Heavenly Father and call him Abba, Father, Dad. And if you're here this morning, I feel that you have some chains around your heart. You want to be set free in some way, then the prayer ministry team will be in the side chapel after the service for you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Abba, Father, we thank you that we're able to come together this morning to praise you, to worship you in word and song without fear of persecution. How wonderful it is for us to be your children, to have you as a father to care for us, to love us, to be there in times of trouble. We thank you that we need not fear condemnation, that our chains have been broken and we have been set free by your Holy Spirit. Be with us all this coming week. Walk with us and guide us. We ask it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For those of you who were counting, there were four references to Abba songs. Waterloo, Gimme, Gimme, Gimme. Thank you for the music and take a chance on me.